Hello, and welcome to the Teaching in Medicine podcast, where we explore effective teaching of the healthcare providers of tomorrow. I am your host, Dr. Kathleen Timmy.
We are back with Mr. Tony Tsai, Director of Career and Leadership Development at the University of Utah School of Medicine. This is part two of a two-part series. I encourage you to check out part one if you haven't already. We will continue exploring Tony's book, Solving for Why, A Guide to Creating Meaning, Community, and Purpose in Your Higher Education Experience.
Okay, so let's talk about the community domain. So kind of once meaning is established, there's certain communities to get more involved in that can help you stay connected to meaning and help you in your career and professional development. And so how can somebody early on in their training or in their career find and stay connected to a network?
Yeah. You know, where this started from was in all three of these domains, it started off as a leadership development framework. And I just had a chance to read all the literature as much as I can get my hands on about leadership development. And I found that it kind of fell into three categories. It's like essentially understanding yourself, which is sort of the meaning part, essentially building networks of influence, which is kind of the community, and then essentially and then working on something driving external change, which has to deal with the purpose part. And the community part initially started with this idea of influence. And so then what I see sometimes is people have ideas or want certain things in their careers and they don't know how to get it. For example, even if they're talking to their division chief about something that they want, it's like they have a hard time because they don't have a relationship with their division chief, right? And so that person, it's like, I don't have time to talk to them. It's like, well, you may need to spend more time with people, you know, it's because if this person had barely ever seen you, you're not going to be able to ask for certain things, right? And if you have an idea, that person won't be able to take it as seriously because they don't know you. And so many of the things that you want is that you're going to need to be able to have relationships with people, at least that they see you. Then I think about, for example, if people want career opportunities, you know, they're applying for a job. I tell people like it's much easier to get the job when somebody has seen you face to face than if you're applying from like out of nowhere. And so this is one of those things where we don't tend to think of it quite as, you know, I'm all about intentionality. And the community part is there's a saying. The saying says, what you appreciate appreciates. And so, for example, if you want to build wealth, then you're going to have to like look at the money that you save. You look at the money that you spend. You have to look at your, you know, investment things. And if you put that out, if you put that awareness on it, then your wealth grows. Or let's say I want to improve my health. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to focus on what I eat and how much I exercise. And if you put that awareness on it, then your health grows. And so if I want to become more knowledgeable, then you just manage your learning and then your learning and knowledge grows. Most of us are kind of, that would like, oh yes, it makes sense. But most of us don't actually do that with relationships, actually. And so we just kind of wing it on relationships and then we suffer the consequences. And in the work that we do, there's really two things that I think about. It's like one, you want to be able to like the people that you go to work with. And so therefore it behooves a certain amount of kind of engagement with people, just going around talking with people. And the other one is that, believe it or not, your career advancement, I was reading this and it seems to be quite vetted out, that your career advancement is like of all the things in like your smarts, your like 50% of it is actually about who you know. And so then like the more people you know, the more you have relationships with, the faster your career grows. So again, if I think about, this is often a professional development program, leadership development program, you know, and if you want to have more influence in the world, it's like, you almost have to think about who you're talking with, how often you're talking with. I mean, I use a spreadsheet, believe it or not, of people. So I track who I'm talking with, and make sure I'm, you know, maintaining relationship with people that I want to. That's the idea about like being intentional. There's a lot more to say. I'll say maybe one more thing, and then with this, we can talk about how, but I think I talk to people like, you know, when you get to a new place, I tell new faculty members, you should go and meet one new person a week, you know, for the first year, if you can. Right. And then, because before that, you won't even feel like you belong there. You just want to meet this many new people. I've, through the ECC program, a lot of people says, I don't really know what to do. It's like, start talking with people. And then, you know, 2 months later, I checked in with them. I was like, how are things going? It's like, oh yeah, I talked to the person that connected me with this. It's like, there you go. That's how you do it. And then also I think about like, what are some of the home, conferences that you go to? And so then you should pick a few of them and you should go to them. And I tell med students that, tell them this, which is, I said, networking is also your job. And so, because a lot of them, they don't see it as a job. They're like, well, if I have time, I don't, but really like, it is your job. like if you're a professional, right? So.
Yeah, some of our professional societies are starting to come back to meetings in person. And I went to one recently. It's the Association of Pediatric Program Directors. So kind of a pretty specific group that leads residencies and fellowships in pediatrics. And I spoke a lot with my coach about, okay, what can I do at this meeting to be more intentional about building networks? And I really tried to go to as many fellowship related sessions as possible as associate program director for our endocrine fellowship and pretty new to that community, and ended up seeing mentors from fellowship from my fellowship on the East Coast, rebuilding those connections. Yeah. Oh, I want you to meet this person, or I think let's loop you in with this project. And I left this meeting with so many new connections and new ideas. And even thinking about my job here in Utah, I had no connections to Utah. I was just kind of interested in leaving the Northeast and living somewhere different and living closer to the mountains. Mm. And a few of my mentors in my residency and fellowship said, oh, I know the PEDS program director at Utah, or I know this person. And so when I interviewed here, I got to meet with those people and really could see myself happy here. And that was all connection. I don't know that I would have gotten this job otherwise if I didn't have those connections.
Yeah. I know. It's because it's not linear. It's not like, well, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and X. It's like, a lot of times with connections, it's a bit like it happens on its own time. So it doesn't feel like it's like connected, but it is actually. It's
It actually is.
Serendipity. That's the word I was thinking about. Like it creates serendipity, essentially. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Another takeaway from this section was the importance of communication, of effective communication. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to some of the common pitfalls that you see with communication?
Yeah. I think we may need to take a little bit more time with it. The way I think about it is that, you know, most people, you want to essentially, I call it when you're communicating that you're trying to deliver value to what you're essentially. So why would you even communicate in a way? Like, why would people want to listen to you? Right. And so, you want to essentially deliver values. Like, what is it? What is the two ways? And I think about if you want to boil communication down, it's like, how do you communicate well? I think of it as these two things. You have to tell the truth and then you have to be caring. And so sometimes they are difficult because let's say you have someone who is like, you know, underperforming. And then what you really want to do is just tell them the truth, which is like, you're doing terrible, right? But that's not caring enough, right? And so therefore, just like, or you're just like, oh, you're doing great, but that's not, you're not being truthful enough. And so it's kind of like the pitfalls. It's like we get either, we're too inauthentic either, or too blunt, you know? And so we all fall into one of these two categories. Most of us, especially if we're squeezed for time, just begins to communicate in a very flat way. It's almost like disinformation. And so I would recommend a little bit more warmth in your communications, not your communication, but people in general. Like when you're writing an email, just write some nicety, which will take you 5 seconds, just something nice, which delivers that warmth. So you can just kind of think, am I warm enough in my communications, and am I truthful enough in my communications? And then if you can kind of hit the right balance, different situations will call for different things. But if you hit the right balance in these two factors, I think you will be doing a good job with communication.
Thanks. I think that's a great summary of the importance of effective communication and what we can do to achieve that. Let's move forward to purpose. So the third domain of the book. What are some ways that people connect to something greater than themselves? And, you know, I think sometimes when we hear purpose and connection to something greater, we think about religion or spirituality. Mm. Does that have to be an aspect of connecting to something greater? Or, you know, are there other ways to connect to something greater?
Yeah, I think about, there was these three questions that relate to meaning, community, purpose that I had for med school and med students. And I looked at, for example, like students who had a good time, like good time in med school. Yeah, or at least they really enjoyed it. They just like, med school is the best versus I hated med school. And then what was the difference? And I had these three questions. And this one, it deals with meaning, which is, you feel like med school made you more or less authentic, right? And then do you feel that med school made you more or less connected with people? And then do you feel, did med school make you more or less committed to something greater than yourself? And you can sometimes see that in some situations, med school can make people closed in, where they begin to really, really, really focus on themselves and self. What am I going to do? It's kind of almost like a survival instinct. Right. And under those circumstances, more likely than not, you'll see people really like med school is miserable. But then I've seen other people who actually work really hard, is that they had some project where they were able to contribute to something. They said, you know, I went through this and maybe there was like a certain clinic or certain things, like, it's like, oh yeah, that's why I did it, you know? And because I think that's sort of the natural, reason why we go into a profession, is that we are contributing to something greater. And so then, because if we don't, we're just kind of focusing our own individual achievement, which is not that great, honestly. That's like not the best thing to focus on. You can focus on it to some degree, has to be balanced out with something on the outside. And you're saying religion and spirituality, that is something greater. Like it's mostly, you can even think about you're contributing to life in some ways, right? I think about, for example, like an example I often use is like, okay, well, you're a human body. A human body has a bunch of cells in it. And so the cells are contributing to something greater, which is you, you know? And so then we are also a living system, and then we are a bunch of living things that are part of a bigger living system, maybe the earth, maybe something like that. And so part of our proper functioning is to contribute to some higher level living system. And then if you look at that, and to be honest, you can pick whatever you want. It does not have to be spiritual. It does not have to be religious. It's almost like as long as I'm contributing to life, I'm contributing to the greater functioning of a higher system. You will then at some point say in your career, when you retire, you look back, you're like, that was a good career, you know? And so there's so many different things you can do. You can almost like pick whatever it is that you want. Again, for me, what I like to do is to be able to contribute to an improvement, if not a transformation of higher education systems. And that's a system within life. And so again, I think, okay, that's the system I'll focus on. And that's what my career will be about.
And just the huge ripple effect from there, like the influence that you have on, you know, everyone in the coaching program and the medical students you interact with, and then their impact, it just kind of becomes amplified.
Yeah.
So with purpose, how can we clarify what our vision is at this stage in the career?
Yeah. I typically think of it this way. It's like, I view a career in two halves. I've been seeing that before 45, it's almost like you're in a process to get established, you know? And so the vision, in a way, is around what would it be like for you to be established in your field? And so it's like, you know, in which, it's almost like, what are the things that you'll have accomplished from a, I have done it, or it's like, what is the amount of like the community that you have built and things like that? That will be the, that's for that stage in the first half of your career. And so, I think also if you're like, oh, I don't know about this vision thing. I don't know how to do it. I'd just be like, oh yeah, well, 5 years from now, what is your life like? That's one of the easiest ways to kind of figure out what that vision is. What is your life like in terms of your career? Just write a one page about that. That's your vision. Okay. And then, of course, I think about once you get into the second half, you will know enough because you won't have feel like, am I established yet? Because as soon as you get established, you'd be like, there's another vision about like, what do you want to create and what is your legacy? You know, for a lot of people in the first half of career, we're not there yet. We're not quite there yet. So there's no need to do that. For the first half, I would just think about like 5 to 10 years down the road. How would you like your life to play out without thinking so much about the logistics with the, like, how am I going to do this? If I were to take the values that I have and the things I'm trying to do and then just take it out to a point where like, yeah, it's like, it's a bit of a stretch for me. It's like, I don't even know exactly how I'm going to do it, but I can sort of see how I can get started in that path 5 years from now. 10 years from now, what does that look like? That essentially becomes your success criteria. That makes sense?
Yeah. And I think that 5 years is a lot more manageable than, you know, at the end of my career, how will I measure my success?
Yeah.
And then in this section, you bring up that there's 8 domains of life, and some of them include family, health, leisure, career. How do we balance these many domains? This is perhaps a too big of a question for the end of our interview, but if you could give us some wisdom there.
Yeah. And so those 8 domains of life are the things of life that needs to be managed by. So I'm saying, people are saying, am I managing my life properly? It's like, you have to have something for each of those domains. Because for example, if you don't manage your health, there's going to be some weird setback that's going to happen. Like, and so you need to keep an eye on, like, same with relationships. If you don't have visibility on your family, there's going to be problems in your family, right? And so these are things that you have to at least kind of keep an eye on. For me, I try to keep an eye on them once a week. I kind of take a look at it. Today is a Tuesday, and I have designated Tuesdays for finance as my finance day. So I make sure I look at my bank account balance, that not like I like ignore my finances altogether. It's not my highest priority, but like I make sure I still look at it. And so you need to kind of one, look at it. And then you should know, like, out of the 8 in a given stage, what are your like top 3 domains? And so for the top 3, like the higher the domains in terms of, I would rank it from 1 to 8, and the top domains should have stronger intentionality, stronger goals. And so I think when people say, how do I manage my time? I said, well, what are your goals? And people say sometimes like, I don't have goals really. So it's like, well, you can't manage your time then, because you're not really managing anything. Like, and so then it says, well, pick your top 3 goals, top 3 things that if they happen this year will make this year a success. And then you just got to make sure that you put some time into those things. But once you have identified it, you actually can essentially say, okay, so I was just talking to this researcher and I said, you know, what are your top 3 goals? Let's say if you're working 50 hours, 55 hours a week, you should put 25 hours into your top 3 things. And then the other 30 hours, like, whatever, do whatever, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, I could, I think I can do that. Whereas if you had no goals, you know, these fit some hours still go by, but you don't feel like you got many things done. And so part of it is, like, again, intentionality, setting priorities, setting goals for the things that you want to accomplish, you know, and then leave room for whatever else happens. It's no big deal. And then you'll see that the right things will happen according.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing the highlights from the three different domains. There's so much more in this book that I would encourage readers to get a copy for themselves and work through it when you have time. And I can put a link to the book in the show notes as well, so there's easy accessibility. I wanted to ask a few more closing questions. So what do you hope that readers take away from this book?
You know, I think the main thing is that you're more interesting than you think you are. You're like, a lot of us, we think like we're not that interesting. We don't have a lot to feel like. It's like, believe it or not, you don't know yourself quite as much as you, like most of the quote unquote problems in your life is like, if you take the time to look at yourself and kind of figure these things out, you can deal with those things. They're not because your boss is asking you to do too many things. It's not because, it's because you don't have boundaries. It's like, and so the thing always begins with you. It doesn't begin with outside events. And so therefore, you know, this is hopefully like kind of a self-empowerment thing, that anything that you deal with, once you take the time to kind of look inside, and you can respond to it. And then there's a saying that I've been very like kind of resonating with recently, said by Jim Rohn, which is, you have to learn how to work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Okay. I feel like right now we work too hard on our jobs and not enough on ourselves. And so as a result of that, we get what we have, like we get burnout. Like what is the answer to burnout? You got to work harder on yourself. Not work harder but work harder on yourself. Draw better boundaries, align yourself to the things that you really want. And so that to me is the way out of the current predicament that we're in, you know, and we've been trying in the med student side, hopefully in the residency side, it's hard in residency. We begin to put more of these tools, hopefully for trainees, so that they, when they get into practice, that they're properly equipped to help, you know, navigate their own life and career.
Okay. And then you mentioned earlier that you hope to write more. Are there any more books or creative projects on the horizon that we should look out for?
Yeah, I'm currently writing a book about finding life purpose. And it goes beyond what's your passion. Of course, your passion is part of it, but it's going to be about, like, if you're like, what am I supposed to do in this world? And so I'm in the process of doing that. I'm about a third of the way through. One of my goals is to finish the draft by this year. And I'm looking to publish it hopefully by the end of next year. So for people who like read it, they get a better sense of like what their purpose in life could be. So that's my next project.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to read that and hopefully have you back to talk more about that next book.
Thank you.
All right. So in closing today, what piece of advice would you like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think about, if there's another Jim Rohn quote, which is, if you will change, everything will change for you. And it relates to, you have to learn how to work harder on yourself than work on your job. And so the idea is, this book, it's hard to say, you know, go reflect on your purpose. That's hard. Like, and so what this book does is that it gives you some like instructions. Think about this, think about this, think about this. So it hopefully it makes it easier. And so that, because the going inside is not always an easy process, but if you are to go inside, and I would recommend that, you know, for everyone, that they have a certain personal practice, they reflect on certain things, even if they take about an hour or two a week, just to kind of process things and think about their life, that will be transformative. And knowing yourself allows you to essentially craft the life and the career that you really want.
Right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that piece of advice and for putting this wonderful book out into the universe. I really have learned a lot by working through it and hope that the listeners do as well.
Well, thank you. At first, I appreciate that, you know, I'm really glad to hear that it was helpful to you. And then also thank you very much for highlighting the book on your podcast. And I hope that it encourages people to go out and get it and do some reflection on their life.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will be taking a break from recording this summer as I will be on maternity leave. I look forward to meeting up with you again in the fall. As always, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and send me any suggestions you have for future episodes.